trauma in South Africa and how TM can help fight it. Coming up next.
This special series is hosted by Cristalia Marie. Claim your free Boundless Energy Tune-Up from Cristalia by going to energytuneup.com/PTSD. By using this link, 10% of anything you purchase on Cristalia's site will be donated to the PTSD Research Project.
Around the world, war veterans, refugees of war, and young people caught in violent communities have experienced relief from the crippling effects of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Transcendental Meditation is bringing them measurable relief. TM is easy to learn, cost-effective, and supported by scientific research. To learn more, go to tm.org.
Welcome, everyone. This is Cristalia, and I am really feeling blessed today to be able to introduce you to my special guest, Leon Teljaard, who will be talking about trauma that is deeply rooted in the South African society. South Africa has been considered one of the most violent countries and has been termed the rape capital of the world. Given the burden of trauma in South Africa, it's important that research uncovers precise methods to treat these traumatic events linked to mental health. While progress in epidemiological studies has been good, there is a paucity of intervention evaluation studies, particularly related to trauma and PTSD in South Africa. Here are just a few things that Leon's going to be sharing with us today. First of all, a greater understanding of the prevalence, nature, and severity of trauma and PTSD in South Africa, as well as a lack of available treatments for mental health. And he's also going to share some practical experiences of the research assistants that during the studies that they've seen. A little bit about Leon. He is a research psychology student in the process of completing a master's degree and working as a research intern at the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, also known as SADAG. And you can learn more about that organization and donate by going to sadag.org. He is also involved in all research and evaluation activities undertaken by the organization. These programs include things like teen suicide prevention in school-based settings, substance abuse prevention in community-based settings, helpline and counseling services, evaluations, patient adherence intervention in clinical settings, HIV prevention in school and community-based settings, and support groups. To learn more about the PTSD Relief Program and to donate to that program, you can visit PTSDReliefNow.org. Again, PTSDReliefNow.org. So welcome to the show, Leon. How are you today? I'm so blessed that you're here with me.
Hi, good morning, and thank you very much for having me. It's truly a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. So would you share with the listeners, what is your area of training, background, and recent experience in particular around this whole issue of post-traumatic stress and so on?
Yes, certainly. As you mentioned, I've completed my honors degree in psychology, and at the moment I'm nearly finished with a master's degree in research psychology from the University of South Africa. So I have done some training at two very large South African public hospitals, working in the psychiatric department with patients there. We've done some studies on patient adherence and retention, as well as on trauma. For the past 3 years, I've been working with the South African Depression and Anxiety Group as a senior researcher here. And we've done several programs trying to assist people with a whole range of psychiatric illnesses, which includes depression and bipolar and PTSD and trauma. And we've done several evaluations and presented at a number of conferences.
Beautiful, beautiful. Great work. So how did you learn about TM and post-traumatic stress?
Quite an interesting story, really. It's very much related to my areas of interest. During my studies, I became very much interested in the mind-body connection. Translational therapies like cranial electrotherapy, bio and neurofeedback, as well as mindfulness, was of great interest to me. And this is really how I became exposed to transcendental meditation therapy. There's been a lot of good evidence of how these kinds of therapies are particularly useful in anxiety disorders, which is where my interest really lies. And through this, through the David Lynch Foundation and Africa PTSD Relief, and David Shapiro contacted us, that's how we became exposed and involved in this program.
Oh, beautiful. So how did TM help with the student subjects that you've worked with PTSD so far, what you've seen?
TM itself can help with a whole range of anxiety, specifically PTSD, on a number of different levels. We can look at it from a biological or physical level. There's been studies that's noted that has found an actual reduction in blood pressure, as well as skin conduction and heart rate, direct, observable, measurable effects of transcendental meditation. As you know, someone suffering from PTSD has a lot of hyperactivity and hypervigilance, high blood pressure, high heart rate, high skin conductivity, and TM has been found to effectively reduce those physiological symptoms, and not just physically, but psychologically as well, reducing anxiety and stress levels, and also raises a level of awareness and brings about a calmness within the person, which is exactly what PTSD is not. There is a complete absence of calmness and awareness during this state. So TM has been effectively able to bring students back into that state of calmness and awareness. And then just not even just on an individual level, but collectively, the technique is able to show also contribute to a collective health of society. Having an awareness to your fellow man, it could also benefit real-life civil conflict situations.
Wow. And you know, you're saying that this study doesn't just show things that people claim they feel better and so on. There's actual physiological changes in the body that you're seeing.
There is actual observable evidence, yes, in some of the studies that has been done using very, very objective measures.
Great. So what were some of the challenges you had during the studies and getting them done?
I would say from a practical perspective, the conditions or the environment for doing these kinds of studies, it was a follow-up study that was done. So we recruited students from a local university here, and for many of these students, they have to travel very long distances or have to depend on unreliable public transport. In this case, there was a challenge with getting students back for testing or measurements around days 15 and 16 and 105. So getting these students back to do additional questionnaires on the right time posed a little bit of a challenge. We've also had came across some severe cases. We've identified one or two students that were severely suicidal as a result of their PTSD. So that almost put us in a hands-on crisis situation, which we had to manage. We had to refer the students for immediate help and counseling and referrals as well.
Well, those are quite a few different challenges and a variety for you to have to deal with. I'm curious, how prevalent is PTSD in South Africa?
The first South African epidemiological study that was done that looked at mental health and psychiatric conditions was the South African Stress and Health Study, which was published about 6 or 7 years ago. And this study found that there was a lifetime prevalence of PTSD for about 1.5 million South Africans. Now, our population at this point stands at about 51 million. Now, there are some limitations to this data that we found. The study, or the data that was collected for the study, is more than 10 years old, so it doesn't really give us an accurate picture of what is happening now. Also, the study did not include children. It only focused on adults. In the context of South Africa, up to 38% of victims of violent crime are children. So this excludes a very large population of the country. When you look at South Africa and you realize that 75% of people who need help for a mental health condition, for any mental health condition, do not receive the treatment that they need. Based on this, professionals and experts in the field of PTSD, such as Professor Eugene Ollers, they estimate that up to 6 million South Africans could be suffering from PTSD at this moment.
6 million. Wow.
Yes.
That's
including children, yes.
Including children, and you said 38% of children are victims of violent crimes. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. You've mentioned earlier that that South Africa was named the rape capital of the world, which was by Human Rights Group. Our statistics here in South Africa finds that 1 in 3 South African women will be raped before the age of 18. There is a higher chance of a child being abused in South Africa than a child completing an education. We have some shocking statistics of violence and crime in South Africa.
Those are definitely shocking statistics right there. Wow, what an amazing blessing you must be to all of these people to be able to give them some help, and it must be quite rewarding for you.
We try and help as best we can. Like I mentioned, there are not a lot of services available to people, especially in rural and outlying and impoverished areas.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, these areas are sometimes very highly characterized by civil instability, political instability, violence. We've had outbreaks of xenophobia. So you can imagine how much of a problem that is.
And it would seem to me like even you and your team have to be concerned about being victims of that violence as well, if there's that much violence going on.
That is correct, yes. The safety of our counselors and our staff always has to be taken into consideration when we go into these areas and try and assist.
Right. So Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about what are the symptoms of PTSD that you're seeing?
The symptoms that we're seeing here is quite common to your normal PTSD symptoms that we found in the students. So they report a lot of disruptive or intrusive memories of the event that makes it very difficult for them to focus or concentrate in class. These memories often trigger very strong physiological reaction. It might feel like they are having a panic attack almost, or a heart attack. Because of these intrusive and upsetting memories, sometimes people tend to avoid certain things that remind them of these events. So there's avoidance symptoms as well, avoiding places, avoiding people or activity, anything that reminds you of that event. And these can lead to symptoms of negative thinking and a negative mood, a constant worry and anxiety, or in attempt to reduce this, perhaps emotionally feeling numb or developing a lack of interest in activities because you are avoiding so much. And this causes changes in emotional reactions. So typically where you would have a normal reaction, perhaps someone with PTSD might respond in a more irritable, anger or aggressive way, or even tearful or fearful and try and escape.
Wow. So we talked a bit about this, the numbers of women raped and so on, but what would you say are the major causes of PTSD in South Africa? I mean, you're not at war, so what are the major causes?
From the South African Stress and Health Study, there was a specific article done on trauma and PTSD, and this section found that the biggest causes or most common traumatic events for people in South Africa was the unexpected death of a loved one, and accidents. Violence, accidents, and illness are three of the most common ones. Either being a victim of violence itself or witnessing violence happening to someone else. Accidents, we have a very high motor vehicle accident rate in South Africa. Thousands of people die on the roads each year due to driving under the influence or unlawful vehicles or driving over the speed limit, unroadworthy cars, and then as well violence, physical violence, sexual violence, either happening to someone they know or themselves. Those are some of the biggest reasons or most common traumatic experience that people have been reporting.
Wow. So, I mean, most people think of PTSD and war-related, and really what you're saying is all of these things can contribute. So it's not just limited to people that are in war areas, which I think for a lot of my listeners, they'll be quite surprised because I think most people think of PTSD as related to being in combat Right.
Yes, absolutely. And in the South African context, that looks very, very different. I would expect that perhaps from a global or Western perspective, things like the illness in a family, such as HIV or something, would not be considered as a clinical traumatic event, if I can put it that way. But what we found for many, many South Africans is that the death of a loved one due to HIV or AIDS, whether it's expected or not, is seen as a trauma in their life, and this is one of the biggest ones.
Wow, that I wouldn't have expected at all. So that's, Yeah, that's very fascinating to understand that. So I think it opens up my listeners to understanding much more. So would you share a bit, Leon, about how is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group addressing PTSD at this point?
At this point, we are setting up and training support groups all over the country. At the moment, we have 200 support groups running that are helping people in the community with no or little access to resources with issues such as depression, HIV, anxiety, stress, violence, trauma, abuse, all those things. And we are going around the country, capacitating, doing more training for these support group leaders, and setting up new support groups in areas where there aren't any. Most of our training has a very strong focus on trauma and violence, whether it's physical or emotional, bullying, etc., because it's such a big problem in South Africa and because it affects their mental health. We incorporate that into all of our training.
Okay. And how would TM fit into the current methods being used to reduce PTSD?
TM would fit in very, very well. As I mentioned, there's not a lot of services available, especially the quality of services that some of these individuals have access to. They're not highly trained or highly experienced. And TM would provide a great platform for evidence, objective evidence that can show in that in a very short period of time how this TM training can reduce the symptoms of PTSD. And I think it would be very, very helpful if we can get more evidence to support that and to communicate that to local communities and to get their buy-in.
Okay. And are your support groups, when they're out there, are they teaching TM right now, or do you need more funding to make that happen, to include that, or how is that working?
At the moment, our support group leaders are not receiving any TM training. We have been approached that the counselors we do have here are able to go for TM training, receive TM training, and hopefully within the next few months, they would be able to train support group leaders to train TM as well.
Great, great. And where in South Africa would TM particularly be useful, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think it would be very, very helpful to virtually all anxiety disorders, especially PTSD, but all anxiety disorders. It is very, very common in South Africa. Stress, anxiety, trauma is highly prevalent. And TM, I think, would benefit for any of those, not just for PTSD. It would help for substance abuse as well.
Okay, okay. And Leon, I mean, I've really enjoyed this conversation with you. Do you have any final thoughts about the study and also about the state of your country as a whole and the role TM might play in the future?
I would just like to thank David Shapiro, his involvement in the study as well, for contacting us and getting us involved. It was truly a good experience to see some of the evidence that TM has brought in how it benefits people with PTSD. And we would really like to see more of this evidence coming into play so that we can show all the stakeholders how effective it is, how cost-effective it is, and that we might be able to have more TM institutions in South Africa where people could attend for training.
Okay, okay. Well, Leon, I really am so happy that you're doing the work you're doing to help these people. I mean, I'm quite shocked and appalled by some of the statistics you're sharing, and it's really an important job you're doing here. So thank you for doing that important work.
No, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share this message.
You're welcome. So let the listeners please, again, go to visit, let me see here, South African Depression and Anxiety Group. You can learn more about that group and that Leon's working with, and donate there by going to S as in South, A as in Africa, D as in Depression, A as in Anxiety, G as in Group, .org. Again, SADAG.org. And also to learn more about the PTSD Relief Program and to donate to that important cause, you can also visit PTSDReliefNow.org. Again, PTSDReliefNow.org. Leon, thank you again for being with me today. I really am grateful that you have shared with our listeners.
Oh, no, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you for the opportunity again, and thank you to all the listeners.
Okay. Bye-bye. Relief from post-traumatic stress disorder with the TM technique, coming up next.
This special series is hosted by Cristalia Marie. Claim your free Boundless Energy Tune-Up from Cristalia by going to energytuneup.com/PTSD. By using this link, 10% of anything you purchase on Cristalia's site will be donated to the PTSD Research Project.
Around the world, war veterans, refugees of war, and young people caught in violent communities have experienced relief from the crippling effects of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Transcendental Meditation is bringing them measurable relief. TM is easy to learn, cost-effective, and supported by scientific research. To learn more, go to tm.org.
Well, welcome everyone. This is Cristalia, and I am honored to introduce you to my special guest, Jason Chacho, who will be talking about how Transcendental Meditation helped him to relieve his post-traumatic stress. Here are just a few of the things you can expect to learn during our time together. First, you're going to find out how combat duty can result in post-traumatic stress, and secondly, how Transcendental Meditation helps servicemen and women to relieve post-traumatic stress disorder. Jason Chacho is an American war veteran who served overseas and returned home with post-traumatic stress disorder. After learning TM, his post-traumatic stress was relieved. To learn more about Transcendental Meditation, you can visit www.t as in transcendental, m as in meditation.org. So that's tm.org. Jason, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm very good.
Good.
Just got done with my meditation, actually, so I'm great.
Oh, good. I just finished mine before we got out as well, so it's great. So would you tell me a bit about yourself, where you were born, where you grew up, maybe schools, family, anything you'd like to share before your military experience?
Yeah, no problem. I grew up in Southern California, Orange County, and for anybody not really around that area, Disneyland. That's the closest thing to me. Disneyland and the Angels. So born and raised in Southern California, grew up as a kid loving the Lakers, loving basketball, skateboarding, just a normal Southern California kid. Two immigrant parents. My mom is from Ireland. My dad's from Italy. I grew up with a younger brother and went to school there, graduated from El Dorado High School in Placentia, and got my bachelor's degree at Cal State Fullerton in finance, and currently working on my master's.
Wow. Wow. So yeah. When and why did you decide to join the military?
Well, at the time, you know, I used to go around saying, oh, for my country. But the reality of it was I came from a pretty working class background, And after high school, I had no idea what I was going to do with myself. And I was a little bit of a rowdy kid. So at the time, I thought I needed some discipline, I needed some direction, and also I needed a place to stay because I could have quite easily ended up on the street. So I looked at the Marine Corps, and it really represented me. I was a little feisty guy with a warrior spirit, so I said, let me try this out. And I had that sense of honor about me, and I ended up joining the Marine Corps in September of 1999, and did a little bit more than 4 years. Yeah, I ended up doing a tour in Iraq during the initial invasion that lasted a little bit more than actually about 1 year and 3 months I was over there. Went in with 1st Marines, and we pushed up all the way through the country almost to Baghdad.
Wow. So you served 1 year and 3 months in Iraq, and where else did you serve?
I served for a brief time in Korea, and also I was at my home station was Camp Pendleton in Southern California, San Diego area.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I assume that most of the war stuff was Iraq. There wasn't anything going on in Korea, right?
Yeah, no, no, thank goodness. But yes, it was all in Iraq.
Right. So what was your job, and what did you do when you served in Iraq?
Well, I had two jobs. I was a close combat instructor, and I was also an intelligence asset for the Marine Corps. So I was embedded with ground units, and we were adjacent to them as we made a push up to Iraq. So I'm giving battle space analysis. We're analyzing targets and designated targets for airstrikes and for some of our heavy artillery to fire upon, and then going in to assess our targeting to see, you know, how accurate or inaccurate we were.
So you weren't doing things where you were killing people or being shot at, or were you?
No, we were definitely being shot at. The thing is we're embedded so close, and the roads we're taking at time, you're taking some fire, and you're definitely dealing with close combat situations, you know, mortar fire, missile strikes, things of those nature. So no, we weren't. Unfortunately for us, we weren't in the back where, you know, you're not going to be exposed to the dangers of war.
Right, right. So you're definitely exposed to the dangers of war. So now you come back to the U.S. after serving overseas. What was your experience when you came back home?
You know, initially I thought I was fine. I got out right around the start of 2004. And I always had this thing, I'm going to get myself into school, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to be great. I was able to, you know, handle this perfectly. You know, I got back in one piece, so there's not going to be a problem. And as I got, you know, going through time, you know, about 3 or 4 years after I got out, I realized that things aren't going as great as I wanted. Started having, you know, at the time I didn't know what they were, but panic attacks. There was sort of a pattern of I'd get a job and, you know, want to keep it for very long for, you know, concentration issues. Just it started to really snowball on me that all of this stuff that I was going through over in the war was starting to bleed out at home because I wasn't dealing with it until, you know, one day I just had enough. I knew that, you know, I had a problem and I should probably go get checked out. So I went to the VA. Went through a lengthy process of, you know, getting checked out by doctors, and they gave me the diagnosis of PTSD and anxiety and depression that was, you know, directly related to my service.
So, would it be okay if I asked, like, is that medical checking or psychological checking or a combination?
A combination of both, because I do have, you know, some physical ailments that I got from my service over in Iraq that are also taken into account for. I'm a service-disabled vet, and part of that disability is PTSD. So, yeah, you had your physical checkups as well as mental checkups by psychiatry to, you know, to get a proper diagnosis.
Right, right. So how did you hear about transcendental meditation, and what made you decide to learn to meditate?
You know, going through the VA healthcare system, which, you know, doesn't work perfectly by any means, but they do try.
Mm-hmm.
But getting put on medication, certain counseling, didn't really work, and at times it made things worse for me. You know, I got symptoms from the medication that, you know, I didn't initially have, and it just seemed to make matters worse. And I remember, because I grew up a really, really big Howard Stern fan, and most people don't agree with Howard Stern, but the one thing he always professed was transcendental meditation. And mm-hmm. so it was always in my mind, this thing that he always talked about that really helped his mother through the depression when her sister died. And he always lauded what a miraculous transformation it had been for her and him too in learning. So, you know, I always thought in the back of my mind, this is something I may want to learn someday. But as I dealt with PTSD and anxiety, I really, you know, got to a point about a year and a half ago where I said, you know, this isn't working. I really need to try something else. Luckily for me, there's a foundation, the David Lynch Foundation, which has a warrior wellness program, which is attached to TM, which allowed me to participate in the program. And for a lot of disabled veterans, they're reaching out to try and help them with PTSD by using transcendental meditation. So I gave it a chance. I went down to my local TM center and got on the program, learned, and it's, you know, ever since, it's just been, it's been great.
Right. So would you talk a bit about what happened when you first began to meditate?
Well, when I first began to meditate, I was a little bit, you know, scared. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, and I didn't know if I was going to do it correctly. And as I relaxed my mind and started going through the process, it really was, it was profound the first time. I know that I felt this great sense of inner reverberation, if that makes any type of sense, that really gave me this warm feeling of tranquility throughout my whole body and my mind. So it really allowed my mind to rest, which for me, dealing with PTSD, it's almost like the lever is all stuck in go, go, go mode, and I got thoughts racing through my head. It's really hard to quiet my mind, but this really quieted my mind down. And for a certain amount of time, you know, for a 20-minute period, you get this sense of inner peace. You get this sense to let stresses leave the body that have been building up and building up with no way to really, you know, decompress. It was a very intimate and peaceful experience for me, which carried over into when I'm out of meditation. I noticed that one of the things I really noticed was, it was almost like a child when you look at things. You get that crystal clear image of things. And as I'm driving, I'm looking at the trees, and it's almost like everything just looks a little sharper. Not, you know, that's something that's very profound to most people, but to me, I noticed it. It's almost like, well, maybe I quieted my mind down, and maybe I'm able to now concentrate on some of the littler things and some of the finer things that, you know, I had missed. Mm-hmm. Dealing with all my stress and anxiety and letting that consume me. So it was a very profound experience for me.
And was it really like immediate, like the first day you meditated?
Yeah, it was pretty immediate. I got to say that. I mean, like I said, I'd been through all types of therapies with the VA that just were very ineffective. And it was very, you know, exciting to see that there was such a simple technique that was out there that, you know, I'm not going to profess that, you know, for anybody that this is going to be the end of all your issues, but it's a very powerful tool, and used as for PTSD sufferers and vets like me, you know, it's something that can go along with your medical program that can really help get you on a road to recovery.
I think that's very wise advice, though. It's not like this is the only thing you need to do.
Right, right. I wouldn't imagine that. But I will say that being on, and this is obviously my personal case, I had been on 3 to 4 types of medications prescribed by the VA for PTSD. And over the period of 6 to 7 months for me of learning transcendental meditation, I have been able to wean myself off of all medications, mental medications that were prescribed. So my therapy, my medicine right now is transcendental meditation only, which for me works great. And it's greatly diminished my anxiety, depression, and panic attacks. When before I could be suffering 4 or 5 pretty bad panic attacks a day at times, you know, which are pretty debilitating. And now, you know, this has allowed me to really free myself from the shackles of something that, you know, panic attacks like that are very scary. And this has been a tool that's helped me to overcome that.
And you're saying even with these medications, you were having 4 to 5 panic attacks per day?
Yeah, depending on the medication, because they'll switch as they see that they were ineffective, or they may have decreased my panic, but also put me in a state of, you know, of confusion at times. So you trade off one, you know, one bad thing for the other.
Right.
So this is the one thing that I've yet to found any negative side effects, and I don't think I'll ever find it. This is something that's, you know, a simple technique, 20 minutes twice a day, that really helps you to simply quiet your mind and, you know, heal from within. And it's a powerful tool. I can attest to that.
Right, right. And so it's impacted your life in many, many ways here. Would you share, I mean, people are probably saying, well, how do I find 20 minutes a day? Can you share a little bit about that?
You know what? I read somewhere and that the Maharishi once said that if you can't find 20 minutes a day or twice a day to meditate, then you're just simply too busy. And that's more a problem of you finding a way to, you know, get a less hectic schedule. But I really think that, you know, even me, and I was one of those skeptics. I think, you know, 20 minutes twice a day. I got this going on. I got a family. I got a wife. I got 2 kids. I got school. I got work. Where am I going to fit all these things in? But you know, you make the time, and it's really not that hard. And the benefits that you get from the TM doing it twice a day regularly, you know, that you find in your waking life away from meditation are just so profound and great that once you get into the mode of it, it becomes like brushing your teeth or something you're going to do every day. You take a shower every day, you don't really think about it. This is kind of like that type of thing. You do your meditation twice a day for 20 minutes, you don't even think about it. It's just part of your routine once you get in, like anything, going to the gym. But it really is something that I think that people that are skeptical need to know that once you get in the routine, it really just becomes a second part. It becomes a natural part of your life and cycle. And the benefits that you'll realize on the outside of meditation are so great that you're not going to have a problem finding the 20 minutes a day, twice a day. You'll find a way to make it work. It's just the benefits are that profound.
And truthfully, if you think about it, if you're having panic attacks, they probably took more than 40 minutes out of your day to get through.
Exactly.
Them. Yeah, and what a different way to spend that 40 minutes.
Right, a more peaceful way.
Yes, yes. So you said you were skeptical about TM when you first heard or when you first started. So would you tell us beyond the doing it twice a day thing, were there other things you were skeptical about?
You know, I was just, I guess I would say that I was skeptical about it working. You know, I'd had, you know, so many doctors working on me for, you know, a period of years that, you know, with techniques, and I know these guys have medical degrees, they know what they're doing, and, you know, it's not working for me over a period of time. We keep trying, okay, well, let's try this, and then, oh, well, this isn't working, let's try this. So at the point I was coming, you know, into transcendental meditation, I was really like, you know, I'm going to try this. I need to find something, but like everything else that's failed in this area, I'm not going to hold out too much hope because I just don't want to feel that disappointment after. But, you know, once I gave in to allowing it to work and gave it a chance, I was really surprised with, wow, it's just so simple and easy. And it's you know, it doesn't take medication or any special thing that anybody can't do easily. It's just a simple technique, and and the effects of it for me and for a lot of other vets like me has been really, you know, it's been very effective tool to battle the ill effects of PTSD.
Right. And does it work for other things? Like, I'm curious, and if I'm putting you on the spot, I apologize, but do your wife and children use TM? Have you shared that with them?
They do not. I've been trying to get them on the train, still trying, but they have definitely noticed that. I know my wife has. You know, she knows that I'm less of a nervous wreck. I'm more attentive, and she comes up and says, you know, when I told her initially I'm going to try this, and she had heard me, and she's been with me through all, you know, all the good times and the bad times. So, you know, bless her for that. But she really noticed it, you know, after a month of me doing it, she came up and said, you know, I noticed a difference here. You know, you're really a more peaceful person than you were. You're not so frantic. And that really made me happy, because, you know, that was one of the biggest things is, you know, I don't want PTSD to, you know, affect my family in negative ways. And it was doing that. I would tend to let this condition draw me into my own little world away from, you know, my loving relationships. And this kind of centered me and brought me back to those relationships that are so important to me. So, you know, you're going to find the one thing is that the most benefit that I found, although when I'm in a meditative state, it's great. You get to quiet down. The real benefit is coming from activity after the meditation, where you see, you know, I just feel more energized. Mm-hmm. I was a big coffee drinker before. I still will have a cup of coffee. I just can't give it up. But, you know, I'm drinking a lot less coffee now, because I find that when I meditate, it just refreshes me so much and energizes me, you know, more than coffee ever did. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one great thing for me about this technique is that once I do it in the morning, you know, I'm up. I'm up, and that cup of Joe wasn't doing the same, you know, longevity-wise, the same type of uppity feeling that this technique was. It reinvigorates me and motivates me to, you know, be more active, be more of a doer, and it just gives me a sense of happiness in my life and a center of my spirit, which I appreciate greatly.
Right. So, Jason, do you know other vets who have learned TM?
You know, personally, for the longest time, I didn't. And recently, I had a friend reach out to me that I served in Iraq with. And he had reached out to me a couple weeks ago saying, hey, I got this podcast going on. I started a business, and I wanted you to listen to it. It was with him and another vet that served with me in Iraq. Now they listened to this thing, and they were talking about it, and I hadn't talked to them since I got out of the service. Mm-hmm. But to hear that they're going through some of the issues that I am with PTSD, and then he brought that up on the air. So they asked him the same, how are you dealing with the PTSD? And he said that he learned TM, and that his story with TM was similar to mine, and the benefits that he's feeling, that, you know, he's a lot more, you know, he gets a lot more peaceful. And, you know, it's really helped him control the symptoms of PTSD, to include anxiety and panic. And it's really all he really needs going forward now. And that really, you know, made me feel very happy and that I'm not the best case scenario here, that this is a real technique that works for, you know, a lot of people. And I would put my money on that this will work for, in some varying degree or another, for anyone that tries it. It's such a simple and natural thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, there's no situation where I don't think it can't help a vet, especially dealing with PTSD. And you may still have to take medication, you may still need your therapy, but as I said earlier, you know, this is just another tool that helps to, you know, helps to heal you. You know, it's part of the program in a bigger picture to get us all right, because, you know, war is such an unnatural activity that, you know, any natural tool that you can get to bring you and center you back, you know, inside yourself is a very great thing.
So do you share this with other vets about your experience now with TM?
I do now. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go up to the VA hospital for treatment, I have certain other disabilities, physical disabilities that I deal with, as well as my PTSD. But when I'm going up for any type of treatment and I'm sitting in a waiting room or talking to a vet, you know, I try and bring up the PTSD. And, you know, I had a couple people that, you know, looked at me a little bit funny, like, isn't that thing with the Beatles in the 60s? So, yeah, but, yeah, because I talked to a lot of Vietnam-era vets, so that's what they relate to when they think about TM. So I just tell them of the experience, the great experiences that I've had with it so far and how therapeutic it's been for me. And I also tell my doctors, you know, the one great thing is that the psychiatrist that I work with at the VA has really, you know, got behind me on this, and he logs it into the notes. So we're really hoping that one day, and I think that TM and the David Lynch Foundation are really trying to push for this to someday be available through the VA to all vets as an alternative form of treatment, because what they're finding is a lot of the medication that they're using has been very ineffective at treating PTSD. So I think that there's, you know, research and enough testimony behind the technique of positive results with PTSD and anxiety that I'm just hoping that one day that, you know, vets everywhere throughout the states have, and hopefully throughout the world have access to TM as a therapeutic treatment for their ailments.
Right. So, Jason, we're just about out of time, and I have been delighted to have you on to talk about this. Do you have a final thought you'd like to share with the listeners about how this could help vets and their families?
No problem. I would just like to say to anybody that's afflicted with PTSD, anxiety, and depression, to really give it a thought, to go out there and look at the TM program, find your TM center. There's so many centers throughout the world that you can look up online in your general area and try and just go to a meeting. I know that usually these centers will do an introductory meeting and show you some of the benefits of the program and really answer your questions, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you go into it, just go into it with an open mind and know that there's a lot of other people that have been helped by this technique of TM, mm-hmm. and that it can help you. So don't be afraid of it. Go out there. You will not regret it.
Right. And for the listeners, be sure to learn more about Transcendental Meditation by going to tm.org. Again, tm.org. Jason, thank you again for being with me.
Thank you.